the 3rd of November. This morning comes Mr. Lovett and brings me my print of the Passion, varnished by him, and the frame black, which indeed is very fine, though not so fine as I expected, however, pleases me exceedingly. This, and the sheets of paper he prepared for me, come to £3, which I did give him, and though it be more than is fit to lay out on pleasure, yet it being ingenious, I did not think much of it. He gone, I to the office, where all the morning to little purpose, nothing being before us but clamours for money. So at noon, home to dinner, and after dinner to hang up my new varnished pictures and set my chamber in order to be made clean, and then to the office again, and there all the afternoon till late at night, and so to supper and to bed. The 4th of November, Lord's Day. Comes my tailor's man in the morning and brings my vest home, and coat to wear with it, and belt and silver-hilted sword. So I rose and dressed myself, and I like myself mightily in it, and so doth my wife. Then, being dressed, to church, and after church pulled my Lady Penn and Mistress Markham into my house to dinner, and Sir John Minnis, he got Mistress Peg along with him. I had a good dinner for them, and very merry. And after dinner to the waterside, and so, it being very cold, to Whitehall, and was mighty fearful of an ague, my vest being new and thin, and the coat cut not to meet before upon my breast. Here I waited in the gallery till the council was up, and among others did speak with Mr. Cooling, my Lord Chamberlain's secretary, who tells me my Lord General is become mighty low in all people's opinion, and that he hath received several slurs from the King and Duke of York, that people at court do see the difference between his and the Prince's management, and my Lord Sandwich's, that this business which he is put upon, of crying out against the Catholics and turning them out of all employment, will undo him when he comes to turn out the officers out of the army, and this is a thing of his own seeking, that he is grown a drunken sot, and drinks with nobody but Troutbeck, whom nobody else will keep company with, of whom he told me this story, that once the Duke of Albemarle, in his drink, taking notice of a wonder that Nan Hyde should ever come to be Duchess of York, "Nay," says Troutbeck, "ne'er wonder at that, for if you will give me another bottle of wine, I will tell you as great, if not greater, a miracle." And what was that but that our dirty Bess, meaning his duchess, should come to be Duchess of Albemarle? Here we parted, and so by and by the council rose, and out comes Sir George Carteret and Sir William Coventry, and they and my Lord Brunker and I went to Sir George Carteret's lodgings, there to discourse about some money demanded by Sir William Warren. And having done that, broke up, and Sir George Carteret and I alone together a while, where he shows me a long letter, all in cipher, from my Lord Sandwich to him. The contents he hath not yet found out, but he tells me that my Lord is not sent for home, as several people have inquired after of me. He spoke something reflecting upon me in the business of purses, that their present bad behaviour is but what he did foresee, and had convinced me of. And yet, when it came last year to be argued before the Duke of York, I turned and said as the rest said. I answered nothing to it, but let it go, and so to other discourse of the ill state of things, of which all people are full of sorrow and observation, and so parted, and then by water, landing in Southwark, home to the Tower, and so home and there begun to read Potter's discourse upon 666, which pleases me mightily, and then broke off, and to supper, and to bed. The 5th of November. A holiday, lay long, then up and to the office, where Vex to meet with people come from the fleet at the Nore, where so many ships are laid up and few going abroad, and yet Sir Thomas Allen hath sent up some lieutenants with warrants to press men for a few ships to go out this winter, while every day thousands appear here, to our great trouble and affright, here every day before our office and the ticket office, and no captain able to command one man aboard. Thence by water to Westminster, and there at the Swan find Sarah is married to a shoemaker yesterday, so I could not see her, but believe I shall hereafter at good leisure. thence by coach to my Lord Peterborough's, and there spoke with my lady who had sent to speak with me. She makes mighty moan of the badness of the times, and her family as to money. My lord's passionateness for want thereof, and his want of coming in of rents, and no wages from the Duke of York, no money to be had there for wages nor disbursements, and therefore praise my assistance about his pension. I was moved with her story, which she largely and handsomely told me, and promised I would try what I could do in a few days, and so took leave, being willing to keep her lord fair with me, both for his respect to my Lord Sandwich, and for my own sake hereafter when I come to pass my accounts. Thence to my Lord Crewe's, and there dined and mightily made of, having not, to my shame, been there in 8 months before. Here my Lord and Sir Thomas Crewe, Mr. John and Dr. Crewe, and two strangers. The best family in the world for goodness and sobriety. Here, beyond my expectation, I met my Lord Hinchingbroke, who is come to town 2 days since from Hinchingbroke, and brought his sister and brother Carteret with him, who are at Sir George Carteret's. After dinner, I and Sir Thomas Crewe went aside to discourse of public matters, and do find by him that all the country gentlemen are publicly jealous of the courtiers in the Parliament, and that they do doubt everything that they propose, and that the true reason why the country gentleman is for a land tax and against a general excise is because they are fearful that if the latter be granted, they shall never get it down again, whereas the land tax will be but for so much, and when the war ceases there will be no ground got by the court to keep it up. He doth much cry out upon our accounts, and that all that they have had from the king hath been but estimates, both from my Lord Treasurer and us, and from all people else, so that the Parliament is weary of it. He says the House would be very glad to get something against Sir George Carteret, and will not let their inquiries die till they have got something. He doth, from what he hath heard at the committee for examining the burning of the city, conclude it as a thing certain that it was done by plot, it being proved by many witnesses that endeavours were made in several places to increase the fire, and that both in city and country it was bragged by several papists that upon such a day or in such a time we should find the hottest weather that ever was in England, and words of plainer sense. But my Lord Crewe was discoursing at table how the judges have determined in that case whether the landlords or the tenants, who are in their leases, all of them generally tied to maintain and uphold their houses, shall bear the loss of the fire. And they say that tenants should, against all casualties of fire, beginning either in their own or in their neighbours. But where it is done by an enemy, they are not to do it. And this was by an enemy, there having been one convict and hanged upon this very score, which is an excellent salvo for the tenants, and for which I am glad, because of my father's house. After dinner and this discourse, I took coach and at the same time find my Lord Hinchingbroke and Mr. John Crewe and the doctor going out to see the ruins of the city. So I took the doctor into my hackney coach, and he is a very fine, sober gentleman, and so through the city. But, Lord, what pretty and sober observations he made of the city and its desolation! Till anon we come to my house, and there I took them upon Tower Hill to show them what houses were pulled down there since the fire, and then to my house, where I treated them with good wine of several sorts, and they took it mighty respectfully, and a fine company of gentlemen they are. But above all I was glad to see my Lord Hinchingbroke drink no wine at all. Here I got them to appoint Wednesday come se'nnight to dine here at my house, and so we broke up, and all took coach again, and I carried the doctor to Chancery Lane, and thence I to Whitehall, where I stayed walking up and down till night, and then got almost into the playhouse, having much mind to go and see the play at court this night. But fearing how I should get home, because of the bonfires, and the lateness of the night to get a coach, I did not stay, but having this evening seen my Lady Jemima, who is come to town and looks very well and fat, and heard how Mr. John Pickering is to be married this week, and to a fortune with £5,000, and seen a rich necklace of pearl and two pendants of diamonds, which Sir George Carteret hath presented her with since her coming to town, I home by coach, but met not one bonfire through the whole town in going round by the wall, which is strange, and speaks the melancholy disposition of the city at present, while never more was said of and feared of and done against the papists than just at this time. Home, and there find my wife and her people at cards, and I to my chamber, and there late, and so to supper and to bed. The 6th of November. Up into the office, where all the morning sitting, at noon home to dinner, and after dinner down alone by water to Deptford, reading Duchess of Malfi, the play, which is pretty good, and there did some business, and so up again, and all the evening at the office. At night home to supper, and there find Mr. Battalier, who supped with us, and good company he is, and so after supper to bed. The 7th of November. Up and with Sir William Batten to Whitehall, where we attended, as usual, the Duke of York, and there was, by the folly of Sir William Batten, prevented in obtaining a bargain for Captain Cock, which would, I think, have been at this time, during our great want of hemp, both profitable to the King and of good convenience to me. But I matter it not, it being done only by the folly, not any design, of Sir William Batten. Thence to Westminster Hall, and it being fast day, there was no shops open, but meeting with Doll Lane did go with her to the Rose Tavern, and there drank and played with her a good while. She went away, and I stayed a good while after, and was seen going out by one of our neighbours near the office, and two of the hall people, that I had no mind to have been seen by. But there was no hurt in it, nor can be alleged from it. Therefore I am not solicitous in it, but took coach and called at Faithorn's to buy some prints for my wife to draw by this winter, and here did see my Lady Castlemaine's picture, done by him from lilies in red chalk and other colours, by which he hath cut it in copper to be printed. The picture in chalk is the finest thing I ever saw in my life, I think, and did desire to buy it, but he says he must keep it a while to correct his copper plate by, and when that is done, he will sell it me. Thence home, and found my wife gone out with my brother to see her brother. I to dinner, and thence to my chamber to read, and so to the office, it being a fast day, and so a holiday. And then to Mistress Turner's, at her request, to speak and advise about Sir Thomas Harvey's coming to lodge there, which I think must be submitted to, and better now than hereafter, when he gets more ground, for I perceive he intends to stay by it, and begins to crow mightily upon his late being at the payment of tickets. But a coxcomb he is, and will never be better in the business of the navy. Thence home, and there find Mr. Battalier come to bring my wife a very fine puppy of his mother's spaniel, a very fine one indeed, which my wife is mighty proud of. He stayed and supped with us, and they to cards, I to my chamber to do some business, and then out to them to play, and were a little merry, and then to bed. By the Duke of York his discourse today in his chamber, they have it at court, as well as we here, that a fatal day is to be expected shortly, of some great mischief in the remainder of this week, whether by the papists or what, they are not certain. But the day is disputed, some say next Friday, others a day sooner, others later, and I hope all will prove a foolery. But it is observable how everybody's fears are busy at this time. The 8th of November. Up, and before I went to the office I spoke with Mr. Martin, for his advice about my proceeding in the business of the private man of war, he having heretofore served in one of them, and now I have it in my thoughts to send him purser in ours. After this discourse I to the office, where I sat all the morning, Sir William Coventry with us, where he hath not been a great while, Sir William Penn also, newly come from the Nore, where he hath been some time fitting of the ships out. At noon, home to dinner, and then to the office a while, and so home for my sword, and there find Mercer come to see her mistress. I was glad to see her there, and my wife mighty kind also, and for my part, much vexed that the jade is not with us still. Left them together, designing to go abroad tomorrow night to Mistress Pierce's to dance, and so I to Westminster Hall, and there met Mr. Gray, who tells me the house is sitting still, and now it was 6 o'clock, and likely to sit till midnight, and have proceeded far to give the King his supply presently, and herein have done more to-day than was hoped for, So to Whitehall to Sir William Coventry, and there would fain have carried Captain Cox's business for his bargain of hemp, but am defeated and disappointed, and knew hardly how to carry myself in it between my interest and desire not to offend Sir William Coventry. Sir William Coventry did this night tell me how the business is done about Sir John Minnis, that he is to be a commissioner, and my Lord Brunker and Sir William Penn are to be controller jointly, which I am very glad of, and better than if they were either of them alone, and do hope truly that the King's business will be better done thereby, and infinitely better than now it is. Thence by coach home, full of thoughts of the consequence of this alteration in our office, and I think no evil to me. So at my office late, and then home to supper and to bed. Mr. Gray did assure me this night that he was told this day by one of the greater ministers of state in England and one of the King's cabinet that we had little left to agree on between the Dutch and us towards a peace, but only the place of treaty, which doth astonish me to hear, but am glad of it, for I fear the consequence of the war. But he says that the King, having all the money he is like to have, we shall be sure of a peace in a little time. The 9th of November. Up and to the office, where did a good deal of business, and then at noon to the Exchange and to my little goldsmith's, whose wife is very pretty and modest, that ever I saw any. Upon the change, where I have seldom of late been, I find all people mightily at a loss what to expect, but confusion and fears in every man's head and heart. Whether war or peace, all fear the event will be bad. Thence home, and with my brother to dinner, my wife being dressing herself against night. After dinner I to my closet all the afternoon, till the porter brought my vest back from the tailor's, and then to dress myself very fine, about 4 or 5 o'clock. And by that time comes Mr. Battalier and Mercer, and away by coach to Mistress Pierce's by appointment, where we find good company, a fair lady, my Lady Prettyman, Mistress Corbett, Nip. And for men, Captain Downing, Mr. Lloyd, Sir William Coventry's clerk, and one Mr. Tripp, who dances well. After some trifling discourse, we to dancing, and very good sport, and mightily pleased I was with the company. After our first bout of dancing, Nip and I to sing, and Mercer and Captain Downing, who loves and understands music, would by all means have my song of Beauty Retire, which Nip hath spread abroad, and he extols it above anything he ever heard, and without flattery I think it is good in its kind. This being done, and going to dance again, comes news that Whitehall was on fire, and presently more particulars that the Horse Guard was on fire, and so we run up to the garret and find it so, a horrid great fire, and by and by we saw and heard part of it blown up with powder. The ladies begun presently to be afeared, one fell into fits. The whole town in an alarm, drums beat and trumpets, and the guards everywhere spread, running up and down in the street, and I began to have mighty apprehensions how things might be at home, and so was in mighty pain to get home, and that increased all is that we are in expectation from common fame, this night or tomorrow, to have a massacre, by the having so many fires one after another, as that in the city. And at the same time begun in Westminster by the palace, but put out, and since in Southwark, to the burning down some houses. And now this doth make all people conclude there is something extraordinary in it, but nobody knows what. By and by comes news that the fire is slackened. So then we were a little cheered up again, and to supper, and pretty merry. But above all, there comes in that dumb boy that I knew in Oliver's time, who is mightily acquainted here, and with Downing, and he made strange signs of the fire, and how the King was abroad, and many things they understood, but I could not, which I wondering at, and discoursing with Downing about it. "Why," says he, "it is only a little use, and you will understand him, and make him understand you, with as much ease as may be." So I prayed him to tell him that I was afeard that my coach would be gone, and that he should go down and steal one of the seats out of the coach and keep it, and that would make the coachman to stay. He did this so that the dumb boy did go down, and like a cunning rogue went into the coach pretending to sleep, and by fell to his work. but finds the seats nailed to the coach, so he did all he could, but could not do it. However, stayed there and stayed the coach till the coachman's patience was quite spent, and beat the dumb boy by force, and so went away. So the dumb boy came up and told him all the story, which they below did see all that passed, and knew it to be true. After supper, another dance or two, and then news that the fire is as great as ever, which put us all to our wits' end. And I mightily eager to go home, but the coach being gone, and it being about 10 at night and rainy, dirty weather, I knew not what to do but to walk out with Mr. Batalier, myself resolving to go home on foot and leave the women there, and so did. But at the Savoy got a coach and came back and took up the women, and so, having by people come from the fire understood that the fire was overcome, and all well, we merrily parted, and home. Stopped by several guards and constables quite through the town, round the wall as we went, all being in arms. We got well home, and in the way I did con mi mano toccar la jambe de Mercer, sa chair. Elle retire sa jambe modestement, but I did toccar sa peur with my naked hand. And the truth is, la fille hath something that is assez jolie. Being come home, we to cards till 2 in the morning, and drinking lamb's wool, to bed. The 10th of November. Up into the office where Sir William Coventry came to tell us that the Parliament did fall foul of our accounts again yesterday, and we must arm to have them examined, which I am sorry for. It will bring great trouble to me and shame upon the office. My head full this morning how to carry on Captain Cox's bargain of hemp, which I think I shall, by my dexterity, do, and to the King's advantage as well as my own. At noon with my Lord Brunker and Sir Thomas Harvey to Cox's house, and there Mistress Williams and other company, and an excellent dinner. Mr. Temple's wife, after dinner, fell to play on the harpsichon, till she tired everybody, that I left the house without taking leave, and no creature left standing by her to hear her. Thence I home and to the office, where late doing of business, and then home and read an hour, to make an end of Potter's discourse of the number 666, which I like all along, but his close is most excellent, and whether it be right or wrong is mighty ingenious. Then to supper, and so to bed. This is the fatal day that everybody hath discoursed for a long time to be the day that the Papists, or I know not who, had designed to commit a massacre upon. But, however, I trust in God we shall rise tomorrow morning as well as ever. This afternoon Creed comes to me, and by him, as also my Lady Penn, I hear that my Lady Denham is exceeding sick, even to death, and that she says, and everybody else discourses, that she is poisoned. And Creed tells me that it is said that there hath been a design to poison the king. What the meaning of all these sad signs are, the Lord knows. But every day things look worse and worse. God fit us for the worst. The 11th of November. Lord's Day. Up and to church, myself and wife, where that old dunce Meryton, brother to the known Meryton of St. Martin's Westminster, did make a very good sermon beyond my expectation. Home to dinner, and we carried in Peg Pen, and there also came to us little Mitchell and his wife, and dined very pleasantly. Anon to church, my wife and I, and Betty Mitchell, her husband being gone to Westminster. Here at church, God forgive me, my mind did courir upon Betty Mitchell, so that I do hafer con mi cosa in la eglisa mem. After church, home and I to my chamber, and there did finish the putting time to my song of It Is Decreed, and do please myself at last, and think it will be thought a good song. By and by little Mitchell comes and takes away his wife home, and my wife and brother and I to my Uncle White's, where my aunt is grown so ugly, and their entertainment so bad, that I'm in pain to be there, nor will go thither again a good while if sent for we were sent for to-night. We had not gone else. Woolley's wife a silly woman, and not very handsome, but no spirit in her at all, and their discourse mean, and the fear of the troubles of the times hath made them not to bring their plate to town since it was carried out upon the business of the fire, so that they drink in earth and a wooden can, which I do not like. So home and my people to bed. I late to finish my song, and then to bed also. And the business of the firing of the city, and the fears we have of new troubles and violences, and the fear of fire among ourselves, did keep me awake a good while, considering the sad condition I and my family should be in. So at last to sleep. The 12th of November. Lay long in bed, and then up, and Mr. Carcass brought me near 500 tickets to sign, which I did, and by discourse find him a cunning, confident, shrewd man, but one that I do doubt hath, by his discourse of the ill will he hath got with my Lord Marquess of Dorchester, with whom he lived, he hath had cunning practices in his time, and would not now spare to use the same to his profit. That done, I to the office, whither by and by comes Creed to me, and he and I walked in the garden a little, talking of the present ill condition of things, which is the common subject of all men's discourse and fears nowadays, and particularly of my Lady Denham, whom everybody says is poisoned. And he tells me she hath said it to the Duke of York, but is upon the mending hand, though the town says she is dead this morning. He and I to the Change, where I had several little errands, and going to Sir Robert Viner's, I did get such a splash and spots of dirt upon my new vest, that I was out of countenance to be seen in the street. This day I received 450 pieces of gold more of Mr. Stokes, but cost me 22.5 pence change. But I am well contented with it, I having now near £2,800 in gold, and will not rest till I get full £3,000, and then will venture my fortune for the saving that and the rest. Home to dinner, though Sir Robert Viner would have stayed us to dine with him, he being sheriff. But poor man was so out of countenance that he had no wine ready to drink to us, his butler being out of the way, though we know him to be a very liberal man. And after dinner I took my wife out, intending to have gone and have seen my Lady Jemima at Whitehall. But so great a stop there was at the New Exchange that we could not pass in half an hour, and therefore light and bought a little matter at the Exchange, and then home, and there at the office a while, and then home to my chamber. And after my wife and all the maids abed but Jane, whom I put confidence in, she and I and my brother and Tom and Will Hewer did bring up all the remainder of my money and my plate chest out of the cellar, and placed the money in my study with the rest, and the plate in my dressing room. But indeed I am in great pain to think how to dispose of my money, it being wholly unsafe to keep it all in coin in one place. But now I have it all at my hand, I shall remember it better to think of disposing of it. This done by 1 in the morning, to bed. This afternoon, going toward Westminster, Creed and I did step in, the Duke of York being just going away from seeing of it, at Paul's, and in the Convocation House yard did there see the body of Robert Braybrook, Bishop of London, that died 1404. He fell down in his tomb out of the great church into St. Faith's this late fire, and is here seen his skeleton with the flesh on, but all tough and dry like a spongy dry leather or touchwood all upon his bones. His head turned aside. A great man in his time, and Lord Chancellor, and now exposed to be handled and derided by some, though admired for its duration by others, many flocking to see it. The 13th of November. At the office all the morning, at noon, home to dinner, and then out to Bishopsgate Street, and there bought some drinking glasses, a case of knives, and other things against tomorrow, in expectation of my Lord Hinchingbroke coming to dine with me. So home, and having set some things in the way of doing, also against tomorrow, I to my office there to dispatch business, and do here receive notice from my Lord Hinchingbroke that he is not well, and so not in condition to come to dine with me tomorrow, which I am not in much trouble for, because of the disorder my house is in by the bricklayers coming to mend the chimney in my dining-room for smoking, which they were upon almost till midnight, and have now made it very pretty, and doth carry smoke exceeding well. This evening came all the Hooblins to me to invite me to sup with them tomorrow night. I did take them home, and there we sat and talked a good while and a glass of wine, and then parted till tomorrow night. So at night, well satisfied in the alteration of my chimney, to bed. The 14th of November. Up and by water to Whitehall, and thence to Westminster, where I bought several things, as a hone, riband, gloves, books, and then took coach and to Nip's lodging, whom I find not ready to go home with me, so I away to do a little business, among others to call upon Mr. Osborne for my Tangier warrant for the last quarter, and so to the New Exchange for some things for my wife, and then to Nip again, and there stayed, reading of Waller's verses while she finished her dressing. Her husband being by, I had no other pastime. Her lodging very mean, and the condition she lives in, yet makes a show without doors, God bless us. I carried him along with us into the city, and set him down in Bishopsgate Street, and then home with her. She tells me how Smith of the Duke's house hath killed a man upon a quarrel in play, which makes everybody sorry, he being a good actor, and they say a good man, however this happens. The ladies of the court do much bemoan him, she says. Here she and we alone at dinner to some good victuals that we could not put off, that was intended for the great dinner of my Lord Hinchinbroke, if he had come. After dinner I to teach her my new recitative of It Is Decreed, of which she learnt a good part, and I do well like it, and believe she'll be well pleased when she hath it all, and that it will be found an agreeable thing. Then carried her home, and my wife and I intended to have seen my Lady Jemima at Whitehall, but the Exchange Street was so full of coaches, everybody, as they say, going thither to make themselves fine against tomorrow night, that after half an hour's stay we could not do any, but only my wife to see her brother, and I to go speak one word with Sir George Carteret about office business. And talk of the general complexion of matters, which he looks upon, as I do, with horror, and gives us all for an undone people, that there is no such thing as a peace in hand, nor a possibility of any without our begging it, they being as high or higher in their terms than ever. And tells me that just now my Lord Hollis had been with him, and wept to think in what a condition we are fallen. He showed me my Lord Sandwich's letter to him, complaining of the lack of money, which Sir George Carteret is at loss how in the world to get the King to supply him with, and wishes him for that reason here, for that he fears he will be brought to disgrace there for want of supplies. He says the House is yet in a bad humour, and desiring to know whence it is that the King stirs not, he says he minds it not, nor will be brought to it, and that his servants of the House do, instead of making the Parliament better, rather play the rogue one with another, and will put all in fire, so that upon the whole we are in a wretched condition. And I went from him in full apprehensions of it, so took up my wife, her brother being yet very bad and doubtful whether he will recover or no, and so to St. Helen's, and there sent my wife home, and myself to the Pope's Head, where all the Hooblins were and Dr. Croon, and by and by to an exceeding pretty supper, excellent discourse of all sorts, and indeed are a set of the finest gentlemen that ever I met with all in my life. Here Dr. Croon told me that at the meeting at Gresham College tonight, which it seems they now have every Wednesday again, there was a pretty experiment of the blood of one dog let out, till he died, into the body of another on one side, while all his own run out on the other side. The first died upon the place, and the other very well and likely to do well. This did give occasion to many pretty wishes, as of the blood of a Quaker to be let into an archbishop and such like. But as Dr. Croon says, may, if it takes, be of mighty use to a man's health, for the amending of bad blood by borrowing from a better body. After supper, James Hooblin and another brother took me aside, and to talk of some businesses of their own, where I am to serve them, and will, and then to talk of public matters, and I do find that they, and all merchants else, do give over trade and the nation for lost, nothing being done with care or foresight, no convoys granted, nor anything done to satisfaction. But do think that the Dutch and French will master us the next year, do what we can. And so do I, unless God Almighty makes the king to mind his business, which might yet save all. Here we sat talking till past 1 in the morning, and then home, where my people sat up for me, my wife and all, and so to bed. The 15th of November. This morning came Mr. Shepley, newly out of the country, to see me. After a little discourse with him, I to the office, where we sat all the morning, and at noon home and there dined, Shepley with me. And after dinner I did pay him £70, which he had paid my father for my use in the country. He being gone, I took coach and to Mr. Pierce's, where I find her as fine as possible, and himself going to the ball at night at court, it being the Queen's birthday. And so I carried them in my coach, and having set them into the house and gotten Mr. Pierce to undertake the carrying in my wife, I to Unthanks, where she appointed to be, and there told her, and back again about business to Whitehall, while Pierce went and fetched her and carried her in. I, after I had met with Sir William Coventry and given him some account of matters, I also to the ball, and with much ado got up to the loft, where with much trouble I could see very well. Anon the house grew full, and the candles light, and the king and queen and all the ladies set. And it was indeed a glorious sight to see Mistress Stuart in black and white lace, and her head and shoulders dressed with diamonds, and the like a great many great ladies more, only the queen none, and the king in his rich vest of some rich silk and silver trimming, as the Duke of York and all the dancers were, some of cloth of silver, and others of other sorts, exceeding rich. Presently, after the king was come in, he took the queen and about 14 more couple there was, and begun the branle. As many of the men as I can remember presently were the king, Duke of York, Prince Rupert, Duke of Monmouth, Duke of Buckingham, Lord Douglas, Mr. Hamilton, Colonel Russell, Mr. Griffith, Lord Ossory, Lord Rochester, and of the ladies, the Queen, Duchess of York, Mistress Stuart, Duchess of Monmouth, Lady Essex Howard, Mistress Temple, Swedes Ambassadress, Lady Arlington, Lord George Berkeley's daughter, and many others I remember not, but all most excellently dressed in rich petticoats and gowns and diamonds and pearl. After the branle, then to a courant, and now and then a French dance, but that so rare that the courants grew tiresome that I wished it done. Only Mistress Stuart danced mighty finely, and many French dancers, especially one of the king called the New Dance, which was very pretty. But upon the whole matter, the business of the dancing of itself was not extraordinarily pleasing, but the clothes and sight of the persons was indeed very pleasing and worth my coming, being never likely to see more gallantry while I live, if I should come 20 times. About 12 at night it broke up, and I to hire a coach with much difficulty, but Pierce had hired a chair for my wife, and so she being gone to his house, he and I, taking up Barker at Unthanks, to his house, whither his wife was come home a good while ago, and gone to bed. So away home with my wife, between displeased at the dull dancing, and satisfied at the clothes and persons, my Lady Castlemaine, without whom all is nothing, being there, very rich, though not dancing. And so, after supper, it being very cold, to bed. The 16th of November. Up again betimes to attend the examination of Mr. Gordon's accounts, where we all met, but I did little but fit myself for the drawing my great letter to the Duke of York of the state of the navy for want of money. At noon to the change, and thence back to the new tavern come by us, the 3 Tuns, where Dennis Gordon did feast us all with a chine of beef and good other things, and an infinite dish of fowl, but all spoiled in the dressing. This noon I met with Mr. Hook, and he tells me the dog which was filled with another dog's blood at the college the other day is very well, and like to be so as ever, and doubts not its being found of great use to men, and so doth Dr. Whistler, who dined with us at the tavern. Thence home in the evening, and I to my preparing my letter, and did go a pretty way in it, staying late upon it, and then home to supper and to bed, the weather being on a sudden set in to be very cold. The 17th of November. Up and to the office, where all the morning, at noon, home to dinner, and in the afternoon shut myself in my chamber, and there till 12 at night finishing my great letter to the Duke of York, which doth lay the ill condition of the navy so open to him, that it is impossible, if the king and he minds anything of their business, but it will operate upon them to set all matters right, and get money to carry on the war before it be too late, or else lay out for a peace upon any terms. It was a great convenience tonight that what I had writ foul in shorthand, I could read to Will Hewer, and he take it fair in shorthand, so as I can read it tomorrow to Sir William Coventry, and then come home, and he read to me while I take it in longhand to present, which saves me much time. So to bed. The 18th of November, Lord's Day. Up by candlelight and on foot to Whitehall, where by appointment I met Lord Brunker at Sir William Coventry's chamber, and there I read over my great letter, and they approved it. And as I do our business in defence of the board, so I think it is as good a letter in the manner, and believe it is the worst in the matter of it, as ever came from any office to a prince. Back home in my Lord Brunker's coach, and there Will Hewer and I to write it over fair. Dined at noon and Mercer with us, and mighty merry, and then to finish my letter, and it being 3 o'clock ere I had done, when I came to Sir William Batten he was in a huff, which I made light of. But he signed the letter, though he would not go, and liked the letter well. Sir William Penn, it seems, he would not stay for it, so making slight of Sir William Penn's putting so much weight upon his hand to Sir William Batten, I down to the Tower Wharf, and there got a sculler, and to Whitehall, and there met Lord Brunker, and he signed it. And so I delivered it to Mr. Chiffinch, and he to Sir William Coventry in the cabinet, the King and Council being sitting, where I leave it to its fortune, and I by water home again, and to my chamber to even my journal. And then comes Captain Cock to me, and he and I a great deal of melancholy discourse of the times, giving all over for gone, though now the Parliament will soon finish the bill for money. But we fear if we had it, as matters are now managed, we shall never make the best of it, but consume it all to no purpose, or a bad one. He being gone, I again to my journal and finished it, and so to supper and to bed. The 19th of November. Lay pretty long in bed, talking with pleasure with my wife, and then up and all the morning at my own chamber, fitting some Tangier matters against the afternoon for a meeting. This morning also came Mr. Caesar, and I heard him on the lute very finely, and my boy begins to play well. After dinner I carried and set my wife down at her brother's, and then to Berkshire House, where my Lord Chancellor hath been ever since the fire, but he has not come home yet. So I to Westminster Hall, where the Lords newly up and the Commons still sitting. Here I met withal Mr. Robinson, who did give me a printed paper wherein he states his pretence to the post office, and intends to petition the Parliament in it. Thence I to the Bullhead Tavern, where I have not been since Mr. Chetwin and the time of our club, and here had 6 bottles of claret filled, and I sent them to Mistress Martin, whom I had promised some of my own, and having none of my own sent her this. Thence to my Lord Chancellor's, and there met Mr. Creed and Gordon, Chumley and Sir George Carteret walking in the park over against the house. I walked with Sir George Carteret, who I find displeased with the letter I have drawn and sent in yesterday, finding fault with the account we give of the ill state of the navy. But I said little, only will justify the truth of it. Here we walked to and again till one dropped away after another, and so I took coach and to Whitehall, and there visited my Lady Jemima at Sir George Carteret's lodgings. Here was Sir Thomas Crewe, and he told me how hot words grew again today in the House of Lords between my Lord Ossory and Ashley, the former saying that something said by the other was said like one of Oliver's counsel. Ashley said that he must give him reparation, or he would take it his own way. The House, therefore, did bring my Lord Ossory to confess his fault, and ask pardon for it, as he was also to my Lord Buckingham, for saying that something was not truth that my Lord Buckingham had said. This will render my Lord Ossory very little in a little time. By and by, away, and calling my wife, went home, and there a little at Sir William Batten's to hear news, but nothing, and then home to supper, whither Captain Cock, half-foxed, came and sat with us, and so away, and then we to bed. The 20th of November. Called up by Mr. Shepley, who is going into the country today to Hinchingbrook. I sent my service to my lady and, in general, for news, that the world doth think well of my lord and doth wish he were here again, but that the public matters of the state, as to the war, are in the worst condition that is possible. By and by Sir William Warren, and with him half an hour discoursing of several businesses, and some, I hope, will bring me a little profit. He gone, and Shepley, I to the office a little, and then to church, it being Thanksgiving Day for the cessation of the plague. But, Lord, how the town doth say that it is hastened before the plague is quite over. They're dying some people still, but only to get ground of plays to be publicly acted, which the bishops would not suffer till the plague was over. And one would think so by the suddenness of the notice given of the day, which was last Sunday, and the little ceremony, the sermon being dull, of Mr. Mills, and people with great indifferency came to hear him. After church, home, where I met Mr. Gregory, who I did then agree with to come to teach my wife to play on the viol, and he being an able and sober man, I am mighty glad of it. He had dined, therefore went away, and I to dinner, and after dinner by coach to Berkshire House, and there did get a very great meeting, the Duke of York being there, and much business done, though not in proportion to the greatness of the business, and my Lord Chancellor sleeping and snoring the greater part of the time. Among other things, I declared the state of our credit as to tallies to raise money by, and there was an order for payment of £5,000 to Mr. Gordon, out of which I hoped to get something against Christmas. Here we sat late, and here I did hear that there are some troubles like to be in Scotland, there being a discontented party already risen, that hath seized on the governor of Dumfries and imprisoned him. But the story is yet very uncertain, and therefore I set no great weight on it. I home by Mr. Gordon in his coach, and so with great pleasure to spend the evening at home upon my lyre a while, and then to supper and to bed, with mighty peace of mind, and a hearty desire that I had but what I have, quietly in the country. But I fear I do at this day see the best that either I, or the rest of our nation, will ever see. The 21st of November. Up with Sir William Batten to Charing Cross, and thence I to wait on Sir Philip Howard, whom I find dressing himself in his nightgown and turban like a Turk, but one of the finest persons that ever I saw in my life. He had several gentlemen of his own waiting on him, and one playing finely on the guitar. He discourses as well as ever I heard man, in few words and handsome. He expressed all kindness to Balty, whom I told how sick he is. He says that before he comes to be mustered again, he must bring certificate of his swearing the oaths of allegiance and supremacy, and having taken the sacrament according to the rites of the Church of England. This, I perceived, is imposed on all, and he will be ready to do. I pray God he may have his health again to be able to do it. Being mightily satisfied with his civility, I away to Westminster Hall, and there walked with several people, and all the discourse is about some trouble in Scotland I heard of yesterday, but nobody can tell the truth of it. Here was Betty Mitchell with her mother. I could have carried her home, but her father intends to go with her, so I lost my hopes. And thence I to the excise office about some tallies, and then to the exchange, where I did much business, and so home to dinner, and then to the office, where busy all the afternoon till night. And then home to supper, and after supper an hour reading to my wife and brother something in Chaucer with great pleasure, and so to bed. The 22nd of November. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, and my Lord Brunker did show me Holler's new print of the city, with a pretty representation of that part which is burnt, very fine indeed, and tells me that he was yesterday sworn the king's servant, and that the king hath commanded him to go on with his great map of the city, which he was upon before the city was burned, like Gompu of Paris, which I am glad of. At noon, home to dinner, where my wife and I fell out, I being displeased with her cutting away a lace handkerchief so wide about the neck, down to her breasts almost, out of a belief, but without reason, that it is the fashion. Here we did give one another the lie too much, but were presently friends. And then I to my office, where very late and did much business, and then home, and there find Mr. Batalier, and did sup and play at cards a while. But he tells me the news how the King of France hath, in defiance to the King of England, caused all his footmen to be put into vests, and that the noble men of France will do the like, which, if true, is the greatest indignity ever done by one prince to another, and would incite a stone to be revenged. And I hope our king will, if it be so as he tells me it is, being told by one that came over from Paris with my Lady Fanshawe, who is come over with the dead body of her husband, and that saw it before he came away. This makes me mighty merry at being an ingenious kind of affront, but yet makes me angry to see that the King of England is become so little as to have that affront offered him. So I left my people at cards, and to my chamber to read, and then to bed. Batelier did bring us some oysters tonight, and some bottles of new French wine of this year, mighty good, but I drank but little. This noon Bagwell's wife was with me at the office, and I did what I would, and at night came Mistress Burroughs and appointed to meet upon the next holiday and go abroad together. The 23rd of November. Up and with Sir John Minnis to Whitehall, where we and the rest attended the Duke of York, where, among other things, we had a complaint of Sir William Jennings against his lieutenant, Leneve, one that had been long the Duke's page, and for whom the Duke of York hath great kindness. It was a drunken quarrel where one was as blamable as the other. It was referred to further examination, but the Duke of York declared that as he would not favour disobedience, so neither drunkenness, and thereon he said very well. Thence with Sir William Coventry to Westminster Hall, and there parted, he having told me how Sir John Minnis doth disagree from the proposition of resigning his place, and that so the whole matter is again at a stand, at which I am sorry for the king's sake, but glad that Sir William Penn is again defeated, for I would not have him come to be controller if I could help it. He will be so cruel proud. Here I spoke with Sir George Downing about our prisoners in Holland and their being released, which he is concerned in, and most of them are. Then, discoursing of matters of the House of Parliament, he tells me that it is not the fault of the House, but the King's own party that hath hindered the passing of the bill for money, by their popping in of new projects for raising it, which is a strange thing, and mighty confident he is that what money is raised will be raised and put into the same form that the last was, to come into the Exchequer. And for aught I see, I must confess I think it is the best way. Thence down to the hall, and there walked a while, and all the talk is about Scotland, what news thence. But there is nothing come since the first report, and so all is given over for nothing. Thence home, and after dinner to my chamber with Creed, who came and dined with me, and he and I to reckon for his salary, and by comes in Colonel Atkins, and I did the like with him. And it was Creed's design to bring him only for his own ends, to seem to do him a courtesy. And it is no great matter, the fellow I hate, and so I think all the world else do. Then to talk of my report I am to make of the state of our wants of money to the Lord Treasurer. But our discourse came too little. However, in the evening, to be rid of him, I took coach and saw him to the Temple, and there light, and he being gone, with all the haste back again and to my chamber late, to enter all this day's matter of accounts in my book, and draw up my report to the Lord Treasurer, and so to bed. At the Temple I called at Playford's, and there find that his new impression of his catches are not yet out, the fire having hindered it, but his man tells me that it will be a very fine piece, many things new being added to it. The 24th of November. up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, at noon rose, and to my closet and finished my report to my Lord Treasurer of our Tangier wants, and then with Sir John Menis by coach to Stepney to the Trinity House, where it is kept again now since the burning of their other house in London. And here a great many met at Sir Thomas Allen's feast of his being made an elder brother, but he is sick and so could not be there. Here was much good company and very merry, but the discourse of Scotland, it seems, is confirmed, and that they are 4,000 of them in arms, and do declare for King and Covenant, which is very ill news. I pray God deliver us from the ill consequences we may justly fear from it. Here was a good venison pasty or two, and other good victuals. But towards the latter end of the dinner I rose, and without taking leave went away from table, and got Sir John Minnis's coach, and away home, and thence with my report to my Lord Treasurer's, where I did deliver to Sir Philip Warwick, for my Lord, who was busy, my report, for him to consider against tomorrow's council. Sir Philip Warwick, I find, is full of trouble in his mind to see how things go, and what our wants are. And so I have no delight to trouble him with discourse, though I honour the man with all my heart, and I think him to be a very able and right honest man. So away home again, and there to my office to write my letters very late, and then home to supper, and then to read the late printed discourse of witches by a member of Gresham College, and then to bed. The discourse being well writ in good style, but methinks not very convincing. This day Mr. Martin came to tell me his wife is brought to bed of a girl, and I promised to christen it next Sunday. The 25th of November, Lord's Day. Up and with Sir John Minnis by coach to Whitehall, and there, coming late, I to Wright's to the chapel, where in my usual place I heard one of the king's chaplains, one Mr. Floyd, preach. He was out two or three times in his prayer, and as many in his sermon, but yet he made a most excellent good sermon, of our duty to imitate the lives and practice of Christ and the saints departed, and did it very handsomely, and excellent style, but was a little over-large in magnifying the graces of the nobility and prelates that we have seen in our memories of the world, whom God hath taken from us. At the end of the sermon, an excellent anthem, but it was a pleasant thing, an idle companion in our pew, a prating bold counsellor, that hath been heretofore at the Navy Office, and noted for a great eater and drinker, not for quantity, but of the best. His name, Tom Bales, said, "I know a fitter anthem for this sermon, speaking only of our duty of following the saints, and I know not what. Cook should have sung, 'Come follow, follow me.'" After sermon, up into the gallery, and then to Sir George Carteret's to dinner, where much company. Among others, Mr. Carteret and my Lady Jem. And here was also Mr. Ashburnham, the great man, who was a pleasant man, and that hath seen much of the world, and more of the court. After dinner, Sir George Carteret and I to another room, and he tells me more and more of our want of money, and in how ill condition we are likely to be soon in, and that he believes we shall not have a fleet at sea the next year, and so do I believe, but he seems to speak it as a thing expected by the king, and as if their matters were laid accordingly. Thence into the court, and there delivered copies of my report to my Lord Treasurer, to the Duke of York, Sir William Coventry, and others, and attended there till the council met, and then was called in, and I read my letter. My Lord Treasurer declared that the king had nothing to give till the Parliament did give him some money. So the king did of himself bid me to declare to all that would take our tallies for payment, that he should, as soon as the Parliament's money doth come in, take back their tallies and give them money, which I giving him occasion to repeat to me, it coming from him against the gré, I perceive, of my Lord Treasurer, I was content therewith and went home, and glad that I had got so much. Here stayed till the council rise, walking in the galleries, all the talk being of Scotland, where the highest report, I perceive, runs but upon 300 or 400 in arms. But they believe that it will grow more, and do seem to apprehend it much, as if the King of France had a hand in it. My Lord Lauderdale doth make nothing of it, it seems, and people do censure him for it, he from the beginning saying that there was nothing in it, whereas it doth appear to be a pure rebellion, but no persons of quality being in it, all do hope that it cannot amount to much. Here I saw Mistress Stuart this afternoon, methought the beautifulest creature that ever I saw in my life, more than ever I thought her, as often as I have seen her, and I begin to think doth exceed my Lady Castlemaine, at least now. This being St. Catherine's Day, the Queen was at Mass by 7 o'clock this morning, and Mr. Ashburnham doth say that he never saw anything have so much zeal in his life as she hath, and the question being asked by my Lady Carteret, much beyond the bigotry that ever the old Queen Mother had. I spoke with Mr. May, who tells me that the design of building the city doth go on apace, and by his description it will be mighty handsome, and to the satisfaction of people. But I pray God it come not out too late. The council up, after speaking with Sir William Coventry a little, away home with Captain Cock in his coach, discourse about the forming of his contract he made with us lately for hemp. And so home, where we parted, and I find my Uncle White and Mr. White and Woolley, who stayed and supped, and mighty merry together. And then I to my chamber to even my journal, and then to bed. I will remember that Mr. Ashburnham today at dinner told how the rich fortune Mistress Mallet reports of her servants. That my Lord Herbert would have had her. My Lord Hinchingbrook was indifferent to have her. My Lord John Butler might not have her. My Lord of Rochester would have forced her, and Sir Popham, who nevertheless is likely to have her, would kiss her breech to have her. The 26th of November. Up into my chamber to do some business, then to speak with several people, among others with Mistress Burrows, whom I appointed to meet me at the New Exchange in the afternoon, I by water to Westminster, and there to inquire after my tallies, which I shall get this week. Thence to the Swan, having sent for some burnt claret, and there by and by comes Doll Lane, and she and I sat and drank and talked a great while, among other things, about her sister being brought to bed, and I too to be the godfather to the girl. I did tumble Doll and do almost what I would with her, and so parted, and I took coach and to the New Exchange, buying a neat tongue by the way, thinking to eat it out of town. But there I find Burrows in company of an old woman, an aunt of hers, which she could not leave for half an hour, so after buying a few baubles to while away time, I down to Westminster, and there into the House of Parliament, where at a great committee I did hear, as long as I would, the great case against my Lord Mordaunt, for some arbitrary proceedings of his against one Taylor, whom he imprisoned and did all the violence to imaginable, only to get him to give way to his abusing his daughter. Here was Mr. Sawyer, my old chamber fellow, a counsel against my Lord, and I am glad to see him in so good play. Here I met, before the committee sat, with my cousin Roger Pepys, the first time I have spoke with him this Parliament. He hath promised to come and bring Madam Turner with him, who is come to town to see the city, but hath lost all her goods of all kinds in Salisbury Court, Sir William Turner having not endeavoured in her absence to save one penny, to dine with me on Friday next, of which I am glad. Roger bids me to help him to some good rich widow, for he is resolved to go and retire wholly into the country, for he says he is confident we shall be all ruined very speedily by what he sees in the state, and I am much of his mind. Having stayed as long as I thought fit for meeting of Burrows, I away and to the change again, but there do not find her now, I having stayed too long at the house, and therefore, very hungry, having ate nothing today, home, and there to eat presently. And then to the office a little, and so to Sir William Batten, where Sir John Minnis and Captain Cock was. But no news from the north at all today, and the news-book makes that business nothing, but that they are all dispersed. I pray God it may prove so. So home, and after a little at my chamber, to bed. The 27th of November. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, and here I had a letter from Mr. Brisbane on another occasion, which, by the by, intimates my Lord Hinchingbrook's intention to come and dine with me tomorrow. This put me into a great surprise, and therefore endeavoured all I could to hasten over our business at the office. And so home at noon, and to dinner, and then away by coach, it being a very foul day, to Whitehall, and there at Sir George Carteret find my Lord Hinchingbroke, who promises to dine with me tomorrow and bring Mr. Carteret along with him. Here I stayed a little while, talking with him and the ladies, and then away to my Lord Crewe's, and there did, by the by, make a visit to my Lord Crewe, and had some good discourse with him, he doubting that all will break in pieces in the kingdom, and that the taxes now coming out, which will tax the same man in three or four several capacities, as for lands, office, profession, and money at interest, will be the hardest that ever came out, and doth think that we owe it, and the lateness of its being given, wholly to the unpreparedness of the king's own party to make their demand and choice, for they have obstructed the giving it by land tax, which had been done long since. Having ended my visit with him, I spoke to Sir Thomas Crewe to invite him and his brother John to dinner tomorrow at my house, to meet Lord Hinchingbroke, and so homeward, calling at the cook's, who is to dress it to bespeak him, and then home, and there set things in order for a very fine dinner, and then to the office, where late, very busy, and to good purpose as to dispatch of business, and then home to bed, my people sitting up to get things in order against tomorrow. This evening was brought me, which Griffin had, as he says, taken this afternoon off of the table in the office, a letter sealed and directed to the principal officers and commissioners of the Navy. It is a serious and just libel against our disorder in paying of our money, making 10 times more people wait than we have money for, and complaining by name of Sir William Batten for paying away great sums to particular people, which is true. I was sorry to see this way of reproach taken against us, but more sorry that there is true ground for it. The 28th of November. Up and with Sir William Penn to Whitehall, setting his lady and daughter down by the way at a mercer's in the Strand, where they are going to lay out some money, and to Whitehall, where, though it blows hard and rains hard, yet the Duke of York is gone a-hunting. We therefore lost our labour, and so back again, and I by hackney coach to several places to get things ready against dinner, and then home, and did the like there to my great satisfaction. And at noon comes my Lord Hinchingbroke, Sir Thomas Crewe, Mr. John Crewe, Mr. Carteret, and Brisbane. I had 6 noble dishes for them, dressed by a man-cook, and commended, as indeed they deserved, for exceedingly well done. We ate with great pleasure, and I enjoyed myself in it with reflections upon the pleasures which I at best can expect, yet not to exceed this, eating in silver plates, and all things mighty rich and handsome about me. A great deal of fine discourse, sitting almost till dark at dinner, and then broke up with great pleasure, especially to myself and they away, only Mr. Carteret and I to Gresham College, where they meet now weekly again. And here they had good discourse how this late experiment of the dog, which is in perfect good health, may be improved to good uses to men, and other pretty things, and then broke up. Here was Mr. Henry Howard, that will hereafter be Duke of Norfolk, who is admitted this day into the society, and being a very proud man, and that values himself upon his family, writes his name, as he doth everywhere, Henry Howard of Norfolk. Thence home, and there comes my Lady Penn, Peg, and Mistress Turner, and played at cards, and supped with us, and were pretty merry, and Peg with me in my closet a good while, and did suffer me, a la bezar mucho, e tocar se cosas upon her breast, wherein I had great pleasure, and so spent the evening, and then broke up, and I to bed. My mind mightily pleased with this day's entertainment. The 29th of November. Up and to the office, where busy all the morning, at noon home to dinner, where I find Balti come out to see us, but looks like death, and I do fear he's in a consumption. He hath not been abroad many weeks before, and hath now a well day and a fit day of the headache in extraordinary torture. After dinner, left him and his wife, they having their mother hard by, and my wife and I, a wet afternoon, to Whitehall, to have seen my Lady Carteret and Jemima. But as God would have it, they were abroad, and I was well contented at it. So my wife and I to Westminster Hall, where I left her a little, and to the Exchequer, and then presently home again, calling at our man-cook's for his help tomorrow, but he could not come. So I home to the office, my people all busy to get a good dinner tomorrow again. I late at the office, and all the news I hear I put into a letter this night to my Lord Brunker at Chatham. Thus, I doubt not of your lordship's hearing of Sir Thomas Clifford succeeding Sir Henry Pollard in the controllership of the King's House, but perhaps our ill but unconfirmed tidings from the Barbados may not yet, it coming but yesterday, viz., that about 11 ships, whereof 2 of the King's, the Hope and Coventry, going thence with men to attack St. Christopher's, were seized by a violent hurricana, and all sunk. 2 only of 13 escaping, and those with loss of masts, etc. My Lord Willoughby, himself, is involved in the disaster, and I think 2 ships thrown upon an island of the French, and so all the men, to 500, became their prisoners. 'Tis said, too, that 18 Dutch men of war are past the Channel in order to meet with our Smyrna ships, and some, I hear, do fright us with the King of Sweden seizing our mast ships at Gothenburg. But we have too much ill news true to afflict ourselves with what is uncertain. That which I hear from Scotland is the Duke of York saying yesterday that he is confident the Lieutenant General there hath driven them into a pound somewhere towards the mountains. Having writ my letters, I home to supper and to bed, the world being mightily troubled at the ill news from Barbados, and the consequence of the Scotch business, as little as we do make of it. And to show how mad we are at home here, and unfit for any troubles, my Lord St. John's did a day or two since openly pull a gentleman in Westminster Hall by the nose, one Sir Andrew Henley, while the judges were upon their benches, and the other gentleman did give him a rap over the pate with his cane, of which fray the judges, they say, will make a great matter. Men are only sorry the gentleman did proceed to return a blow, for otherwise my lord would have been soundly fined for the affront, and maybe yet for his affront to the judges.